On today's episode of the Brad and Will Show, we're doing our first edition of play reviews, and we have Alper and Shangoon up next, and it's going to be exciting. He had a great season. We're going to dive into his statistics, all his best stretches, his weaknesses, and then his future outlook on the team. So you're definitely going to want to tune in for this one. We have an exciting guest, so stay tuned. All right, and welcome back to the episode of the Brad and Will Show. I'm your first host, as always, Will. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston. Over there, we've been doing a lot of the off-season content for the Houston Rockets. If you missed it last week, we had several spaces talk about, you know, James Harden potentially returning to Houston, Nick Nurse potentially being the next Rockets head coach. So if you're into, like, you know, stuff like that, want to keep up with the Houston Rockets, what's happening with the community during the offseason, make sure you tap in over there. We'll be hosting spaces all summer long. I'll quickly shout out the podcast on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter as well. We appreciate the support on that front. Continue to, you know, hit the subscribe button, you know, drop comments, and we appreciate all that. Pass up to Brad.
Yeah, as always, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at BradONBA, all your favorite stats, highlights. Always got you covered in that regard. But today, we got Serge on, man. Serge is repping from Turkey. He's perfect for this Shangoon episode, so we had to get him on the show today. So, Serge, quickly shout out where people can find you on Instagram, Twitter, socials, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, hey guys, first and foremost, thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. Love the content you guys have been doing for the past year or so, ever since I met you guys. So, you know, on Twitter and Instagram, or across social, it's just Serge Kumas. So my first and last name together, no spaces, nothing like that. Just mainly on Instagram a lot now these days, but definitely always going back on Twitter as well. So you can always find me.
Yeah. Serge has a really good Instagram. So if you're not tapped in, definitely check him out over there. But again, today, this is our very first player review, and we had to start with Alper and Shangoon because he probably had the best season of any Rockets player this season. He overexceeded my expectations. A lot of people's expectations is being drafted at number 16 and being as good as he is already. He's not even 21 years old, and he's breaking a ton of records. First center in NBA history to have two triple-doubles by his age, most assists by his age. He's been doing it all lately. And Serge, we just have to ask you, what is it like to have a guy like Alper Shangoon representing Turkey? He looks like he's probably going to be the best player in Turkish history. So how does that feel for you and the Turkish community?
Man, I'll tell you guys. So, you know, I was talking to a friend about this a few days ago before, you know, and so, you know, when you had guys like Mehmet Okur back in the late 2000s, Hidu Turkoglu for the Magic, Mehmet Okur for the Utah Jazz, you know, those guys retired in the early 2010s. And so there was a period in time where Turkey just didn't have that player doing great things for, you know, representing Turkish basketball in the NBA, the best league in the world. So, you know, here we are roughly, you know, 10 years later, and we have a 21-year-old Alper Shangoon. So now he's really putting Turkish basketball back on the map, because there was that 5-6 year stretch in the league where we didn't have that dominant player. We didn't have guys like, you know, Kevin Durant, you know, giving props to Alper Shangoon and stuff like that. So to have a guy like LP finally putting us back on the map in the National Basketball Association, I mean, we couldn't ask for more. So, you know, we love what he's doing, but again, we just want to keep supporting him, watching him develop as the years go on. So we're just really, really excited for what he has in store.
Yeah. And then we're gonna kick it around to Will, but we'll start with you again, Serge. So his season as a whole, what were your overall thoughts? Just from start to finish, you know, he started off on the bench. They benched him for Bruno Fernando for that short stretch, and then he got hurt, then Shangoon started the rest of the year. And then, well, just from there, that's when he started just kicking it into high gear, and he looked really, really good. So overall thoughts on his season.
So going into it, my biggest concern was, can he make that leap, right? So if you want to be a star in this league, you have to get better every single season. You know, guys like Luka got better every single season. Guys like Jason Tatum, you know, got better every single season. So in order for you to be that player, in order for you to get that notoriety, you have to keep developing your skills. You just can't stay stagnant. So, you know, obviously him getting benched for Bruno, you know, shout out to Bruno, you know, really good player. He's a quality player. But, you know, right when Alperen got that starting role, he just took off and he never looked back, right? So, you know, whether it's in the NBA or the NFL or whatever sports league, when you get that one chance, you have to kind of just ride it out and just keep going as much as you can. So, you know, with Alperen, he finished with, I have it right here, with, you know, 29 double-doubles this season. He's up there with a lot of good players in the league. So, again, just really past my expectations. He definitely took that leap and he just kept going. So, overall, just a really, really good sophomore year for him. And I just again, hope he keeps going in this direction.
Yeah. What do you think, Will?
One, I think that I wouldn't be Will and me to not talk about the Bruno Fernando starting over Shingun at the start. I thought that was a terrible decision in the moment.
It was.
And I thought it was even terrible as the season progressed. And I think it's a terrible decision. Here we are. What is it? April. I think it's a terrible decision then. So I was very disappointed to see that guy, see Bruno Fernando starting over Shingun. So I thought Shingun, one, I think Shingun's just downright a better player. And I thought the logic behind why Fernando started over Shingun was kind of like, I didn't really understand. Like you, it was to, you know, quote unquote, balance the lineups and you know, we needed a representing lob threat. But I'm like, that's not really who Bruno is. And then Shingun is like, this guy is like too immensely talented. And not even just immensely talented, but he makes everyone on the team better, including and like most importantly, like the franchise cornerstone himself, Jalen Green. Like I remember if you look at a lot of Jalen Green's preseason highlights before they did go ahead and made the decision to have Shingun come off the bench, a lot of Jalen's preseason highlights come from a Shingun, like either a Shingun screen, a Shingun assist, or like even like a Shingun high kick. Like Shingun is like involved in almost every one of Jalen's preseason highlights. And I'm like, well, this is the guy who clearly makes him, who clearly makes Jalen better. I just didn't see the logic behind Fernando starting over Shingun. But yeah, I think Shingun was definitely the biggest surprise of the season. I didn't envision him being as good as he was this year. Not because I don't believe in Shingun, just because he was really good. Like I think it's a statement that a lot of Rockets fans, I wouldn't say don't like to hear, but are kind of shocked to hear. When I say like I think he was the best player on the roster last year, I know a lot of us want to say it was Jalen Green, but I think it was Shingun. As far as like. The value that he brought to the team, and then I'll keep it very surface level for the first segment or what. But if you listen to the way, like opposing players talk about Shingun, right? No one, not saying that, you know, we don't believe in Jalen or Jabbar or KPJ, but like you kind of touched on, Serge, like Kevin Durant shouted him out, or Jokic shouted him out, Anthony Edwards shouted him out. Every time we played a team, like you could almost guarantee that the opposing's best player was probably going to say something. Very positive about Shingun in his post-game press conference. And then not even just that, but like just the way other fan bases talk about Shingun. Like I never heard any other fan base like fear one of our players the way they feared Shingun. Like I remember when we were playing the Lakers, when they were trying to make that last second postseason push, I remember they were like excited that Shingun wasn't going to play. And then they were hurt that he ended up playing that game. Cause they were like, we feel we have a better chance of beating the Rockets if Shingun does not play. And that's something I hear for anybody else on this roster. So like, so I'll keep it very service level for that. But yeah, man, I think he had a great season. He was, in my opinion, he still is the best player on the roster currently. And like I said, I'm just really excited to see what the future has in store for him.
Yeah, we have to start with the Bruno front. And you're 100% right. Well, it was a bad decision in the moment. It was a bad decision a month later from then. And it's a bad decision now in April. Going into the season, I remember just wanting to have Alperen Şengün be that offensive hub. He looked really good in the very first preseason game, and it was a good example of what the season should have had in store, in my opinion. So just him being benched didn't make any sense to me, and I feel like the only reason he was inserted into the starting lineup was because Bruno Fernando ended up getting hurt. And so I'm not saying, you know, I hate seeing players get hurt, but it's crazy that had to happen for Şengün to get that starting opportunity.
And not to cut you off, but like, not to cut you off, but like, Bruno Fernando getting hurt is how he got the starting job back. But we didn't really see the offense kind of run through him until KPJ got hurt. And like, you know, I love KPJ, and I don't think it's a situation where it's like KPJ was like ignoring Shingun. I think that like the offensive design was to run through KPJ as opposed to the guy who like. It's kind of what he specializes in. So I just want to point out that like there, I don't know. Like I think Shingun kind of shined, even though he was put in positions where it would probably be very hard to shine. So I just want to point that out as well.
Yeah, and I'm gonna dive into that specific moment in the season in a second when KPJ gets hurt and Shingun had a special 9-game stretch where he averaged 19 points, 10.2 rebounds, 7.3 assists and shot 66.4% from the field. Only a few people in the NBA have ever done that in NBA history in a 9-game stretch. We got Will Chamberlain, Jokic, Sabonis, and Oscar Robertson. Then you got this 20-year-old kid from Turkey, Alper Şengün. So it kind of shows you how much he was cutting up when they gave him the keys to the offense. But we'll get to that in a second, Serge. I want to ask you about that when I finish this point. But just, again, starting the Bruno thing, it just didn't make any sense. But Şengün, once they put him in a starting lineup, is when we really saw how special he was. Just from his first season to now, he really improved in every aspect. We get this talk from every single category. We can start from points, 9.6 points to 14.8 points. Field goal percentage jumped from 47.4 to 55.3. That is a huge efficiency increase, and he was taking the same amount of shots and the same kind of shots he was taking last season. Şengün is a very crafty player in the post. That's his bread and butter. And now that he's making those, he's getting to his spots quicker. He was just a guy that was really hard to guard. This is a guy where I would be concerned his rookie season if he was going against a bigger center. Let's say a guy like Mitchell Robinson, you know, a lot of length, maybe 7'1", 7'2". I could say, okay, Şengün might struggle with this kind of guy. But now we see Şengün really working any guy that he's going against. He was working guys like Nick Claxton. He was going to school on Zubac. I can show you guys a minute. I can give you guys a minute compilation of Şengün cooking Zubac on some insane stuff. Like, Şengün was really like that against some really good defenders. His post game is so mature for a 20-year-old. Guys, just wait until he's even 23, 24. Like, he's going to be an issue. And his playmaking, I can't even get started on the playmaking. I mean, 3.9 assists. And you can see 3.9 assists and say, okay, that doesn't sound like a lot. But for second-year centers, that's fifth all-time. That's fifth all-time for second-year centers. For players under 21, centers under 21, that's most all-time. No center has ever done that under 21. So, again, what he's doing for his age has been spectacular. In the post standpoint, playmaking standpoint, the kid has it all. And he even increased his 3-point percentage. He shot on a lower volume, but he really does have a nice stroke from deep. His shot looks really good. He has great touch. He introduced that little floater shot, little push shot that he started to shoot off the pick and roll. If he would get, he would just throw it up, a little shot put. It looked good. He has really great touch. So I'm excited to see where his game grows in every single aspect. But Serge, again, we'll touch on it. KPJ got hurt. And then we saw Şengün start to go crazy. And that 9-game stretch that I brought up, he had at least 6 assists in every single one of those games. That's the longest stretch for a center.
It was easy money on Prospect.
Yeah.
Easy money. Yeah. Longest stretch for a center 21 or younger to have 6 assists in a game. So, Serge, once they give Şengün the keys, what are you thinking, man? You're like, okay, this is what he can really do. So what were your thoughts on that stretch?
Man, Brad, you touched upon it too. Like, just to think that he's only 20 years old, right? So obviously, from a Turkish basketball perspective, I always look at guys like, you know, Furkan Korkmaz, Jedi Osman. They're all, you know, good players, even better people, right? Mm-hmm. But Furkan's like, you know, again, they're both really quality players. You know, 25, and then Jedi turned 28 a few weeks ago, right? To think that Alperen's only 20 years old, man. I mean, to think that we're going to possibly see this for the next, like, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, who's to say not like the next 10 years, right? So to being so young and being this crafty and being so good in the offense and to say his defense is lackluster, I think is pretty harsh for Şengün. He's a good shot blocker, right? And he's blocked guys like Aaron Gordon. He's really good with chase down blocks, even though he's not the fastest guy out there. He does have heavy feet. He's really good on those chase down blocks and really getting after it. So, man, just to really, you know, see him these next 4 or 5 years, I'm really, really excited for that. And I also like this season of how him and Jalen Green had that like pick and roll offense. You know, if you watch a lot of the highlights of Şengün from game to game, you know, Jalen being so quick, he goes right, you know, goes right by the pick, and, you know, Şengün just rolls to the basket. So I thought that was like their bread and butter this year when it came to Steven Silas's offense with the Houston Rockets. So that was really exciting to see. But again, just to see what he's doing at this age is really, really remarkable. So, just can't wait to see more of it for sure.
Yeah. Will, I'll kick you off and start off with this question for you. We'll dive into his weaknesses. No player in the NBA is perfect. And Şengün, everyone will tell you that he needs to work on his defense, his foul trouble. You know, what are some things that, you know, have maybe frustrated you with Shangoon's game or things that you think he can improve on?
I think that the biggest thing for him is just continuing to improve defensively. I do want to, like, contextualize that, though, and say that I do think that, like, no one's expecting Şengün to be the world's best, you know, rim protector as a 20-year-old. Like, that's especially considering, like, his archetype. No one is expecting that from him this soon. And to cut him some bit of credit, there were a lot of times this year where I felt like the players on our roster's defense was bad because of lack of effort, not because they're bad defenders. And to Şengün's credit, I don't think that I saw too many games where I felt like he was bad because he wasn't trying. I think he's bad because, or hey, I'm not going to say he's bad. I think he's bad at times because he's still learning how to play defense at the NBA level, right? Like, I watched a lot of EuroBasket this summer, Serge, and I'm watching him play with Turkey, and it's a different game over there than it is over here. And so I think he's still trying to make that adjustment. Because like, you see him get frustrated with himself sometimes when people score. So like, I think that it's a thing where as he continues to develop and get stronger and learn the nuances of the game, I think we're going to see his defense improve. Now how much that improves, I don't know. We're seeing the game, especially like in the postseason, a lot of times the flat footed centers get played off the court. Conversely, Sabonis is doing a really good job against the Warriors right now. You would think that would be the one team that would play someone of that archetype off the floor. I'm not going to sit here and say that like Şengün is like stamped if he figures it out. I think the only way we'll know is if, you know, when we hit the postseason, if he's able to, you know, still be as effective then. But like I said, I want to cut him some credit that like I think he has done, when KPJ got out and the offense was running a lot through him, I don't think I remember too many games from that stretch where I'm like, man, I wish Şengün's defense was better. Like, I remember thinking during that stretch, I'm like this guy, like, for what you should expect from a 20-year-old who's, like I said, literally learning how to play NBA basketball in front of us. Like, I thought he did a pretty good job. I think his defense did kind of decline as the season progressed. And I was kind of wondering, like, maybe he's kind of gassed. Like, he's, you know, because the last maybe, like, 15, 20 games of the season, that's where I started saying, you know, there will be nights where his defense will be inconsistent. Like, we ran into Valanciunas and the Pelicans a couple of times in the season. And I thought those were the nights where he really, really struggled with the physicality of the opposing teams. Big, both from like a defensive standpoint and an offensive standpoint. Maybe he was gassed, and that's kind of why we started seeing it kind of decline as the season progressed. Like, I thought the first, you know, two thirds of the season, I thought it was fine. And so, yeah, man, like I said, I don't think it's nothing to where we should be panicking or, making it. Like, I know some people like just want him traded this offseason just because. Like, I don't think it's a situation like that. I think it's just one of those things where we have to kind of just watch it play out and see what happens. But, like, you know, we're not going to be in the playoffs anytime soon anyway. So, like, I don't really see the issue in rolling with Şengün and seeing what he can do. We've said it plenty of times on the show already. If that guy hits his ceiling, if he pans out the way that, he hits his potential, right? I mean, we're talking about for sure a top five, like, offensive big in the entire game. And, I mean, that might be a top 20, 25 player in the game. And, obviously, like, that's a player that you want to build around. So, like I said, I think it's just one of those things where, like, you know, time will tell.
Yeah. When it comes to his defense, me personally, as long as the offense outweighs his defense, then that's when he's going to be a plus player. That's what you get from guys from Nikola Jokic and Domantas Sabonis. Obviously, those guys are extremely good, and Şengün is still 20 years old. But I can see Şengün reaching a Sabonis level on the offensive side of things. Maybe better. But, again, defensively, I thought that at times he could be better in drop coverage. And, again, as Will said, it comes to just learning the NBA style of game. You know, one thing about him, he always gives 100% effort, which I like about Alperen Şengün. But you also see at times during the season, you know, you'll see Jabari get frustrated with him. You'll see Jalen get frustrated with him. I just think it just comes to with him just learning the game. It's an IQ thing on the defensive side. And Şengün, I think he's going to be able to learn those things. And I think once he's in the weight room more, he gets stronger, faster, quicker. He'll be better on that side of the ball. And I'm not saying he'll ever be elite on defense. I don't think he'll ever be elite on defense. But he just needs to be good enough to where he's not played off the floor. That's the level that Şengün needs to be on the defensive side. I'll never think he'll be a lockdown defender. And if he ever becomes that, I'll be shocked, and I'll be extremely happy, of course. But that's just not his archetype, and that's just not going to be his game. But on the defensive side of things, I think communication will help. Again, just playing ice on pick and rolls and all those things. Şengün, I think he'll be he'll be fine on that. And he's only 20 years old. All the takes about, oh, he should be traded. Oh, this is a guy you can't build around. No, y'all got to stop with that, because what we're getting on the offensive side of things is special for his age. And yes, the defense needs to improve. And as the course of the season progressed, his fouling trouble, he got a lot better with his foul trouble throughout the course of the season. At the beginning of the year, I even interviewed him and I asked him. I had to ask on behalf of somebody else. I said, Albert, what's going on with the fouls, man? He said, I don't know. I don't know how to stop it. I was like, Albert.
It keeps coming.
But, I mean, after that interview, he actually did kind of cut down the fouls a lot. So that was really good to see. That was one of the reasons that he was not getting played late in games from Steven Silas. We're probably going to have to touch on that, too, with the accountability thing. That's what we'll touch on next. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to say, I mean, he really improved when it came to fouls, staying out of foul trouble. But going into next season, I'm hoping he's better at being at his spots, communication-wise, being better physicality-wise. Again, I think Will made a good point going against some of those bigger centers like a Valanciunas, maybe even like a Steven Adams, if he even plays Steven Adams this year. I'm just giving examples of bigger players. Those are guys that I did see him kind of struggle against. So that was a good point, Will. But Serge, what do you think about his defense or his weaknesses? Or what do you think are some things he can improve on?
Yeah, you guys both touched upon it. I think definitely there. I was at a Sixers. I was covering a Sixers Rockets game back in February, and obviously Embiid is like a top tier center in the NBA. I think the best player in the NBA right now. And I remember there was a play where, you know, obviously on the block, Alperen was defending Joel, and Joel kept backing into him, and he kept going and going and going until he dunked it on him. And then obviously, you know, it's hard to stop that. So I think if he does get stronger, obviously it's going to help him in the post when it comes to backing down players like Joel Embiid, players like Nikola Jokic and Sabonis and so on and so forth. That's one area I think he can improve in. But, you know, his defense, like you said, Brad, he's never going to be like an elite defender, but hopefully his offensive skills outshine his defense to the point where if his defense is okay at best, we'll be fine with that. He can still be an all-star and still be a franchise player. But I like his shot blocking ability. Once again, I think he's decent when it comes to shot blocking. He already has like almost, I think he averages almost one block per game. So I think he's decent on that side of the ball. But again, he's not going to be a defender like Joel Embiid or anything like that. He's never going to be that elite defender. But again, hopefully his offensive skills outshine his defensive weaknesses, which I think they will eventually.
Yeah, one thing I did want to touch on, not on the defensive side of things, but three-point shooting, spacing, I guess that is something you do need to touch on when it comes to a weakness, because floor spacing in the NBA today is very important. And I do think, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Alperen Şengün, his three-point shot, I think it looks really good. His form looks good. I think Silas encouraged him to take less three-point shots this season. He said that in an interview. I'd like to see him next season be able to take those shots, be able to get attention from defenses at the three-point line. That's going to be huge for his game, opening up his game and everybody else's game on the floor if he's able to hit that three-point shot consistently. And it's something I think he can do. Again, he jumped from, 24.8% to 33.3% from the three-point line. He shot over 40.
Which I'm sorry, like, you know how many attempts that was? I know it was probably like less than one.
I think it was
shot 0.8 attempts. He was 19.7.
If he can get that to like two or three on that same efficiency, just 33%, which I think he can do. Because like we talked about it, you know, I think we talked about it last year. If you look at like when Şengün shoots threes, he makes them when he doesn't hesitate. When he just shoots it and lets them fly. Like, I think, obviously, I don't think he's ever going to be like a great shooter from three. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. But I think that for like his position, I think there's a world where he is able to knock the three down consistently enough to make people respect his range when he's out there, or at least pay attention to him, right? Just not leave him wide open. And like I said, it's the shots where he just catches it, doesn't hesitate, doesn't think twice about it, just shoots it. He makes them pretty consistent. Like I forgot what the exact number was, but if you were to like remove all of like the last second heaves that he had, he was actually shooting a pretty nice percentage from three this season. I forgot what the exact number was. But yeah, like I think that if you like, I think part of the problem was that Steven Silas was like, you know, telling him to stop shooting as many threes and, you know, to I guess focus on what his strengths were. And I agree with that to an extent, but like there are times where like, man, that guy is wide open. And I'm like, man, when he's wide open, he just pulls him. He's making him a lot of the times. And it's like, I want to see him instead of hesitating, you know, he'll almost like pump a couple times and then maybe shoot or pass. Just shoot it the first time, because like he's making them a lot of times when he does that. And like I said, I think if he can stay around 32-33% on like two, maybe three attempts a game, like, bro, like, there's nothing to worry about at all for me offensively for his game. And I don't think that's an unrealistic ask of Alperen Sengun to shoot 33% on two attempts. Like, I don't think that's a hard ask at all.
Yeah, I really do think he can grow that part of his game. It comes with touch, and he has amazing touch. Free throw shooting, he shot 80% his MVP season at Turkey. I still think his free throw shooting can improve. He was around 71% his rookie and sophomore year. I think that's something he can improve as well. But again, that three ball, I think it's going to come once he improves the volume, the confidence within himself to just let it fly, as Will was saying. That's going to open up his game and again, everybody else's game on the floor. And he already opens up everyone else's game on the floor with his playmaking ability. And that's what makes him such a special player. Having that versatility and craftiness in the post and being able to dish it off to anybody else, that's a special talent right there. But that's it for the weakness portion. Last thing I kind of want to touch on was Alperen Sengun's future outlook on this team. If he can be that franchise cornerstone, we'll kick it off with Serge. Do you think, and I know your answer is probably going to be yes, but you can dive into it. Do you see him being like a staple cornerstone piece for this Houston Rockets team? And I know you guys were frustrated with how Sengun was being used, and you guys from the Turkish community were like, hey, let's get this guy to a new team. They're not using him.
Yeah.
Do you want to see him stay in Houston long term, or do you think he can be that franchise guy?
Man, I think so, because, you know, even with the talks of like a whole different topic here, but even with the talks of like Nick Nurse coming to Houston and coaching this young team, I think Alperen can really flourish. You know what I mean? I think he should be at this team. It's a young team, right? So not a whole lot of veterans here, but hopefully these guys like KPJ and Jaylee Green and Alperen can lead this team into the next era, so to speak. So I think he can be. You know, I think he's a franchise player, and he's doing things that we haven't really seen from a lot of, whether they be a Turkish players or European players. If we do see from European guys, it's been Jokic and Sabonis for the most part. Those guys are all-stars. So I think he can definitely be a franchise player for the Houston Rockets. Like Will said, I think he's been the best player on the Rockets this past season. Obviously, Jalen had his moments here and there, but I think in terms of being consistent, Alperen's been that guy for the Rockets. I kind of think of it this way too. I kind of wanted to maybe ask you guys as well, but you know, obviously NBA and a lot of like other sport leagues, they have a lot of tiers, right? So I think Alperen is already, and he's matched up really well against guys like Mason Plumlee, Ivica Zubac, you know, guys like Sabonis, guys like Jokic. So I think he's not like the top tier, but I think he's like a third tier center right now at 20 years old. So, you know, being a third tier center at 20 years old, by the time he's like 22, 23, I think he can be a second tier or even like a top tier. So, yeah. So to answer your question, Brett, I think he can definitely be a centerpiece for this Rockets team moving forward.
Yeah. What do you think? Well, you'll have people say, oh, his defense isn't there enough for me to center him as a franchise cornerstone per se. So, I mean, what would your thoughts be?
I think that I think that the only two people on this team who are like stamped in terms of like cornerstones, like above everything else, is Jalen and Jabari Smith, just because, you know, those are the top three picks. You have the highest level of investment in those guys. And so I think those are the only like two, like where it's like, we need these guys to succeed. You know, those are the guys who were not so even at a trade conversations. Like, I think those are the two who have that label. I think Sengun is outside of that. You could argue either him or Tari Eason has the next like highest terms of importance to this team. And like Sengun's it's tricky, man. Like it's why he's such a polarizing topic on Rockets Twitter, because on paper, like if this guy hits the way like people think he hits, I mean, like obviously he's up there with Jalen and Jabari for, you know, untouchables. Obviously he's in that conversation. He's one of the best players. As a matter of fact, to kind of answer your question, Serge, like I was trying to look up a list of like before the season, like the top 10 centers in the NBA, because I'm willing to bet you that he's in that 10 to 12 range, like right now, as far as NBA centers go. Like I think he's a lot better than some of the guys people don't think he's better. Like, as a matter of fact, I was taking some heat for it, but I mean, I'm watching the playoffs, man, and I'm watching what Sabonis has done against the Warriors. And I'm sitting there watching, and I'm like, man, I'm watching Sabonis try to score in the post, and I'm like, man, Sengun scores there. Like, yeah. I've seen Sengun score that exact look multiple times this season. So not saying Sengun's better than Sabonis, but I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for. But like, so the tricky side of it is, we don't like it. There is a world where this guy, you know, he has a while to go defensively. He has a while to go, and he plays a position to where, like, if he can't figure it out defensively, his value plummets significantly. And while I'm optimistic that he figures it out, I think that it would be unwise, and this doesn't just apply to Shingo, I think this applies to everybody. I think it would be unwise to, like, bank our roster on something that's not guaranteed. And like I said, that goes for Jalen as well. Like, I don't think it's wise to build our roster on anything on this roster until it's guaranteed. And right now, nothing is guaranteed. The only thing that we have close to a guarantee is our top three picks, and that's the only reason why they get that luxury. But even with that, like, if there was a star shooting guard in this draft, I'd take him and, you know, figure out how that fit between him and Jalen works out. But yeah, man, like, it's not that I don't believe in Shingun, because I do. It's more of like it's just like my philosophy with team building. I don't go all in and build around something until it's a guarantee. Simply because, like, you know, if it's not guaranteed and you go all in on it, like, now you're looking stuck because your plan, you know, what you went all in on didn't work. But like I said, I'm also someone who, like, this offseason I'm fighting or pushing back against any trade Shingun offers. I think it's just too premature this offseason. I think that if you are someone who wants to trade Shingun, or you think that this team should go a different direction at the center position, I think that it also will be in your best interest to wait for that, because I think his value only grows up from here. I think I think next season, you kind of touched on it with Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse is someone who's, you know, found some really offensive creative when he had like Mark Gasol on his team. I'm not saying that Shingun's Mark Gasol, but those are both kind of like those high IQ centers who can kind of operate out the post at the top of the key and kind of run some offense. And so I think, like, you know, if we bring in Nick Nurse or a Kenny Atkinson next season, I think Shingun's going to look even better than he did. Like, you know, you factor in the natural progression from, you know, offseason work. And then year three is where a lot of guys are taking, like, the leap. So I think you factor in, you know, the offseason work, the incoming leaps going to take next season. And then the fact that I'm hoping that the next coach we bring in is going to recognize how, like, offensively talented he is, and, like, hopefully build a little bit of the offense around him. I mean, yeah, man, I think he's going to be an amazing player next season. I think we're talking about, you know, 18-10-4 next season, 18-10-5 next year. Like, I can see something like that. And if that's the case, like, his value is going to be so much higher this time next year than it is right now. I just think that it would be like, from an asset standpoint, it just would not be smart to trade Shingun this offseason. And so, yeah, man, like, that's just kind of where I'm at with, you know, the long-term outlook of Shingun on this team.
When it comes to his development, when do you guys see him becoming an all-star?
Bro, I think
maybe 20, I think 24, 25, I think.
Bro, I think that if you put Shingun on a team that was able to win basketball games, I think he's an all-star next season. And, like, that's just my personal, I think that he has to, if you put him on a team this season that, like, catered to his strengths and, like, ran through him, I think he puts up 20 points, 10 rebounds, like I said, for just this season. And so, like I said, if you put him on a team where, like, he would, I think he has the ability to get all-star numbers. I think the problem for Shingun is he needs to be on a team that has the, like, has all-star wins. Mm-hmm. So if you put him on a team where he could win basketball games, then I think he could be an all-star next season or so, like, you know, year four. Like, I think the guy's that talented already.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree when it comes to the talent. He's got it. Next season, I can see him putting up really good numbers if his minutes increase. Again, he had a huge increase from his rookie season already, had an 8-minute jump in differential from his rookie season sophomore year. I mean, I'm assuming his minutes will go up again and again. Having a guy like Nick Nurse, or the new coach they bring in, they're going to utilize him well and better. Well, he keep improving. So I do think, to our original question, he can be that franchise guy, one of the franchise guys. As Will said, I think he put it on the money. The same thing I would kind of say. I believe Jalen and Jabari are the only two players locked into this team long term from their standpoint. Me, I would keep Shingun there, but we still have to see. So say if they get Victor Wembanyama, let's see how that fits together. Maybe they don't like that fit. I don't know how they view things. But regardless of anybody they bring in, Jalen and Jabari are going to be those guys that are locked regardless. But Alvarez Shingun, he is that talented to the point where that's a guy that they can probably build around, along with Jalen and Jabari.
Man, it's just so crazy to me how quickly he could fill up a stat sheet. I mean, I think the last game against the Wizards, I was out with my family that day. We're doing like a family day kind of thing. I'm always checking the stats like on ESPN and stuff like that. So I think at like in the second quarter, he had like 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and like maybe like 8 points. I'm like, all right, it's the last game of the season. Maybe he's taking it easy. I mean, a third quarter came around and he just kept filling it up. I'm like, dude, he's going after that triple double because he had 2 this season. Could have had 3. He missed. He was a 1 rebound shot against the Kings back in like February in Houston. That crazy game where like De'Aaron Fox shot a 3 and he got fouled and those 3 free throws. That was a really weird game. But that third quarter against the Wizard, he just turned it on. And I'm like, dude, he's going to get a triple double. But then, you know, the last quarter, you had Boban go into the game and the starting 5 sat out and that was that. But man, the way he fills up a stat sheet is crazy. You can't look away for too long because if you do, you'll miss the triple double. So that's how it goes. Yep.
Yeah, when it comes to the all-star conversation that you brought up, Serge,
yeah,
as Will was saying, if the Rockets can ever see a top 4 seed, in my opinion, by the time the all-star break comes around, if they're a top 4 seed and Alperen Sengun is still that starting center and they're running the offense through him, that is an all-star in the NBA. That's just the kind of player he is. The flashiness, I still don't think the national media gives him the credit that he deserves when it comes to how flashy and such of a highlight real player that he is. If he's on the Lakers, you see him everywhere. I promise you, he'd be –
in commercials, probably.
NBA postable.
Yeah, man.
They would idolize Alperen Sengun if he was in Los Angeles. So once he gets that national attention that he deserves, and all these players are talking about him, as Will pointed out, you got Paul George, Greasy Sandwich Podcast, Ant-Man, Jokic, just a number of people, Rudy Gobert. Once the NBA world sees how special and talented and highlight filled that he is, he's gonna really be that guy. And I'm excited to see it. I do think he can be that franchise guy, to my original question. But, sir, since we got you on, that's our player reviews. We touched on a lot of good topics. You have a lot of good insight on Alperen Sengun, so you can let the people know what he's going to be up to this offseason.
Yeah, man. So, obviously, you know, Rockets did make the playoffs, so he's going to be training for the most part. I did see that he did go on, you know, Instagram Live and stuff like that. He did say that he's going to join the Turkish national team. So the whole thing with the national team right now is there's a World Cup this summer. So obviously the U.S. is in there, Canada, teams like a lot of European teams are in there as well, like Greece and Serbia and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, Turkey couldn't qualify for the World Cup. So big bummer. The first time they're missing it says 98. So we qualified for like 4 or 5 consecutive World Cups, missing it this summer. It's going to be in Japan, the Philippines. So obviously it's a big big dent for the Turkish national team. But in August, there are pre-Olympic qualifiers. So hopefully, you know, Alperen's going to be there. He did say on Instagram Live that he's going to go to the national team. And so hopefully, you know, Turkey will get past that. It's pre-qualifier. So if they win out, they go to the qualifying tournament next summer. And then, as we all know, next summer is the Olympics in Paris, the 2024 summer games. So hopefully, if Turkey gets past the pre-qualifiers in August, they'll qualify for the next year's tournament. And so, you know, he's going to just relax and work and join the national team in late August. So that's what it's looking like for now.
Sounds good. Will, if you have anything else to add?
No, I think this is a great pod. I think we were able to talk a lot about Sengun, his season, his strengths, his weaknesses, and kind of what his outlook on this team could look like. That's all I got from me. I just want to say thank you to Serge for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. And then I said this to Will and Brad to you as well, but on a Twitter space, but you guys were the first dudes I reached out to when Alperen got drafted. I even told Will, hey, I might move to Houston in the fall. This is like 2 years ago now almost.
Yeah, but, I remember.
You know, things didn't work out with my job that I have now. And, you know, hopefully I'll get down there for a game or two this upcoming season. But yeah, man, just really appreciate you guys on Rockets Twitter and stuff like that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, anytime. And once again, let the people know where they can find you if they didn't hear you the first time.
Yeah, man. All across social, Serge Kumas, my first and last name together. No caps, no spaces or anything like that. Just Serge Kumas.
All right. Again, we really appreciate you. I really enjoyed this episode. We have player reviews coming all off season. We'll either dive into Jalen Green next or Jabari Smith Jr. We'll have that uploaded not this Monday, but the next one. So definitely stay tuned. And we appreciate you guys for listening. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We're trying to get 1,000 this offseason. I think that's a reasonable goal. So that's our goal. And we appreciate you guys for listening. As always, we got episodes all offseason. So, yeah, that's it for me.
All right. And I think that'll do it for this episode. We thank you guys for listening. We'll see y'all next week.